turn with me this morning now to the sixth chapter of the book of John. I read to you from chapter 7 at the outset here, and now I want to read to you from this sixth chapter. Our Lord, having conversation here with kind of a mixed crowd, but primarily his apostles, his disciples. And there was a mixed bag here. And he said unto them, beginning there in verse 31, he said, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert." Makes reference to the children of Israel, the days of Moses, as they was led out or delivered out of the hands of that monarch Pharaoh, and delivered into the promised land eventually. But while they were in the wilderness, they were hungry. They had really no means to bring about enough food or get enough food. So they murmured, and they told Moses, they said, "What have you done?" Said, "You've led us out here to kill us. We're going to die here in the wilderness. We have no bread." So our Lord here uses that illustration of truth. It wasn't a parable. It was a truth. It's something that happened. Said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. I don't know what the manna was, what the substance of it was, but I do know it came from God, so it's got to be good. It sustained them for many and many a day, this manna, until they got tired of the manna and desired something else. But anyhow, God provided the manna for them. It came down of a morning and lay upon the dew, and all of the households went out and gathered enough manna for the day to sustain them through the day. And then the next morning, they got fresh manna from heaven. Certainly, that is a indication of the concern and the care and the love of God for these Jews, this nation that was set apart from every other nation. They did not choose God, but God chose them. There were probably other nations that were far more likely to do good than the Israelites, but they were the least, and He chose them and supplied them throughout their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And our Lord said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. God gave them bread. God's always the giver. He's never the taker. He gives, we take. There's a difference between givers and takers and movers and shakers. God's the giver. We're the taker. We have our mouths open, and He fills it. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, which means truly, truly. And any time you see the two words together, verily, verily, or truly, truly, it's an indication that something is about to be said, a of great importance. And this is of great importance. Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. That wasn't Moses. Moses had no magic about him. Moses was just a mere man, a good man. As a matter of fact, God said this testimony concerning Moses, that he was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Oh, Moses. Anyhow, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. Understand that. It wasn't Moses now. But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So the significance of what he's saying here is that bread that you got in the wilderness, that was a temporary thing, and it came from God and it sustained you for a while, but it was withdrawn. But he said the true bread, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, and the bread of God which the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And so immediately this crowd said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And that's what I want to talk to you just a little bit here this morning. I am the bread of life. Now, I am the bread of life in these verses. I'll read some more to you here in a minute. I'll go from where I started, verse 31, down to verse 40. And these are the verses that I include in this particular statement here. Our Lord begins here to speak in the first person. I and me. And I and me is mentioned no less than 35 times in these particular verses here in the 6th chapter of the book of John. I and me. Now he makes it plain as to the truth concerning the bread of life. He tells them plainly, without hesitation, he tells them plainly, I am the bread of life. That is the true bread that comes down from heaven. The bread of life that he's talking about is a spiritual bread. It is not a loaf of bread as we know it today, but he's talking about a spiritual bread which conveys life to the soul. This bread sustains and gives life to the soul. Not to the body, but to the soul. It's living bread which does not merely feed the body like common bread does, but it gives nourishment to the soul. It's a must for the believer. The believer must have that living bread that comes down from heaven to sustain him, to nourish him, and to keep him going. It does not merely feed the body like common bread, but it gives nourishment to the soul. Now, there's many reasons, I'm sure, but one reason why he calls himself the bread of life is that he is intended to be to the soul what bread is to the body. It's food to the body, and bread is a necessary food. Just as the bread of life is necessary for the nourishment of the believing sinner. Now, it's a food that everybody can eat. Everybody can eat bread. there's no one that I know of or ever heard of that cannot eat bread or does not like bread. The rich and the poor both eat bread. It's a food that suits all or everybody. It suits the old, it suits the young, it suits the weak, it suits the strong, all like bread. Isn't that right, Bob? Everybody likes bread. Regardless of whether it's wheat or whether it's rye or whether it's white bread or cornbread, everybody has a taste for bread. You want it in the morning, you want it at noontime, and you want it in the evening. Nothing does so much good, and that is so indispensable to our bodily health. It's a food that we need daily, morning and night, and we go on eating bread all of our lives. We start with it after we make a few years in life, or a year, or maybe just 9 months, that a baby starts to eat something besides baby food. He begins to like bread, and his diet then begins with bread. So everyone likes bread always and at all times, under all conditions and circumstances, and goes on eating bread all of his life. Now, we can manage pretty well or pretty easy without many things on the table, but we cannot manage or get along without bread. We've got to have bread. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have Christ or we'll die in our sins. I am the bread of life that will sustain you. Now, we must have Him, or we'll die in our sins. If we do not have Him, then we shall never enjoy that place that He hath gone to prepare for us, if we don't have Him. We must have Him. We must have Christ or die in our sins. I've already said that bread is a food that suits all. Some cannot eat meat, and some cannot eat vegetables, but everybody likes bread. Is that not right? Everybody likes bread. It's a food that's fit for the President of the United States, and it's fit for the poorest man on the face of the earth. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is just the Savior who meets the need of every class of men, women, and boys and girls. We need bread every morning and every evening in our lives. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no day in our lives but what we need His righteousness, His blood, His intercession, and His grace and His everlasting love. We need it. We must have it. We've got to have it. We cannot endure without it, those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So well may be He called the bread of life. I am the bread of life. In contrast to what He said to them about Moses, He said, you had the bread of life, the bread of heaven, but He said, it's not the real bread of life. I am the real bread of life. Well, do you know anything this morning about a spiritual hunger? Most people don't. And those that do know something about a spiritual hunger, where they are certainly highly favored by God, because for the most part, there are not many among the billions on the face of the earth this morning that have a spiritual hunger. But there is some that have a spiritual hunger. And I want to know I want to know this morning. I want you to think about this and be able to come up with some sort of an answer, yes or no. Do you know anything of spiritual hunger? I mean, do you feel any craving and emptiness of conscience and emptiness of heart and emptiness and feelings in your affections? Well, we must come to God by faith. We can't come any other way. We must believe God's testimony concerning His Son. If so, if we do believe the testimony of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the bread of life, the Savior of sinners, if so, well, we have His pledge. He pledges His royal and sacred blood, His royal and sacred word, that if we come to Him, that we shall find eternal satisfaction for time and eternity, and we'll never hunger no more. This bread that came down from heaven during the reign of Moses, you ate it, but you got hungry again. But the bread of God that the Lord Jesus Christ says He is, if you come to Him and make application of this bread to your soul, He says you'll never hunger again. Your conscience will be satisfied, and you'll be satisfied. Well, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst, he said. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. That's in that 35th verse. I am that bread of life. Now he says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Well, those that come to him, come to Christ. And that's what I've been talking about. That's what I've always talked about. Always, every time we meet here, I talk to people about coming to Christ. He's the answer to all their problems. Come to Christ. Alright? He that cometh to me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. Let me read that. I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now listen to this. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He that cometh to me I will in no wise cast. What does this coming mean? He that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. But what's involved in this coming? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means the movement of the soul which takes place when a man feels his sins and knows that he's a sinner and finds out that he cannot save himself. When that takes place, then he'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, God will not cast him out. When he hears of Christ, the Bible says that a man must hear. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word. He's got to hear the Word. And when a man hears the Word and applies to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts in Christ and lays hold of Christ and leans all his weight on Christ for righteousness and God's salvation, when this happens to a man, it is said in scriptural language that he has come to Christ. What did our Lord mean by saying, I will in no wise cast him out? The man that comes to Christ, if he comes to me, I will under no circumstance cast him out. I will not deny him. I will not push him away. I will not forsake him. I won't cast him out. Well, he meant that he will not refuse anyone who comes to him, no matter how great his sins might be. I won't cast him out. If he comes to me, if he comes to the place that he knows that he's guilty before me, he knows that he's a sinner, his conscience is smitten. He knows he can't save himself. He knows he's guilty of the charges against him. But if he comes to me, I won't cast him out. So, it means he will not refuse anybody, regardless of race, language, situation or circumstance, regardless of how vile he is or how good he is. If he comes with nothing in his hands to help God save him, if he comes empty and broken without help, if he comes flat out without nothing and sees that he's got nothing, and knows that he is nothing, if he comes to me, I won't cast him out. I won't reject him. I'll receive him. And I'll pledge my sacred word to him that under no circumstance or condition will I ever cast him out. Now that always makes me happy. That suits me. That suits my need, because one day I'm up and the next day I'm down. But he said, I'll not cast you out whether you are up or down. I won't cast you out. Now that makes me happy. Regardless of how vile a man he is, if he comes to Christ by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ will graciously receive him and pardon him freely, forgive him of all of his wrongs, all of his sins, past, present, and sins to come, and freely give him eternal life. He'll live forever. Live forever. Not in hell, but he'll live forever with God. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that cometh to me shall never thirst. It be with me. I'll clothe him with my righteousness. My blood shall wash him clean. And what God hath cleansed, let no man call common or unclean. I'll never forsake him. I'll never cast him out. These are blessed words. You know what makes them so blessed? It's because of him who uttered them. Who uttered them? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes them so blessed. He uttered them. Jesus Christ, who never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He that comes to me, I'll never cast him out. Blessed words. They'll smooth down a dying pillow. They'll calm a troubled conscience, because there's a day that will come to pass when flesh and blood will fail. A day will come when the world and our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters can't help us. That day will come. We'll be there by ourselves. No one else can help us. Blessed will be the soul in that day if the Spirit of God witnesses with His Spirit that He has really come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have here, lastly, a saying of Christ about the will of His Father. Two times He said in these verses, "This is the will of Him who sent me." Well, first He said, "All that the Father giveth to me, they shall come to me." Well, I like that. They shall come. It does not say, "All that the Father gives me, maybe they'll come to me. I hope they'll come to me. I want them to come to me." But He says, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me." Precious words, because of who spake them. He who knows all. He said, "They shall come to me." Someone says, "Well, what if He doesn't want to come?" Well, He's not stronger than God. God will make Him willing to come. He'll make Him willing. "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out." If He comes to me, He's on safe ground. I'll never cast Him out. Why? "For I come down from heaven." I left heaven in all of its glory. I come down not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. All that the Father gave me, I come down to do the Father's will. The Father gave some to me. And all that the Father gave to me, He said, shall come to me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of the Father that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews then began to murmur at Him. Oh, what blessed words are these. "He may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up again." Blessed words. Once we are told, it's His will, it's the will of God, that everyone that seeth the Son may have everlasting life. Once we're told that it is His will, of all which the Father hath given to Christ, He shall lose nothing. Well, this, He kind of draws a picture here from a happening that took place back during the time of Moses. They were in the wilderness, and the serpents bit some of the Israelites. And the remedy that was given by God unto Moses, God told Moses to make a replica of the serpents that bit the children of Israel out of brass. And they said, hang it on a pole in the midst of these Israelites that were bitten. And he said, now, whosoever looketh upon the brazen serpent shall be healed. And all those that looked were healed. Everyone that looked at the brazen serpent lived and did not die. So that's what our Lord is saying here. Whoever comes to me, whoever sees me by faith, shall live and never die. You see, there's no barrier, no limit, no restriction. It says, look and live. Can you look? If you can look, you can come. If you come, you can live. And if you live, you've got God's Word that it'll never cast you out. Never cast you out. Won't say, well, you haven't done enough. Hadn't got anything to do with your doing. It's all His doing. It's all His giving. You're the receiver. You're the taker, and He's the giver. He said, if I needed anything, I wouldn't ask you. He said, cattle on a thousand hills are mine. He said, you think that if I needed anything, I'd ask you. He doesn't need anything. He supplied everything that's needed to save the sinner. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He meets all the sinner's needs by His person and by His word. No barrier. He will never allow any soul that comes to Him to be lost or to be cast away. He'll keep him safe from grace to glory. He'll keep him safe. He'll keep him in the cradle of His arms. He'll keep him under His everlasting wings. He'll hide him under the rock. That's higher than I. He'll keep him safe from grace to glory in spite of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Not one bone of his mystical body shall ever be broken. Not one lamb of the flock shall be left behind. Remember I talked to you here this past Wednesday about the Good Shepherd. The good shepherd knoweth his sheep. The good shepherd keepeth his sheep. And I told you about David of old, who said in regard to prior to him killing that champion Goliath of the Philistines, he said to Saul, the king, he said, let me at that uncircumcised Philistine. He said, a bear and a lion attacked my father's sheep. And he said, I grabbed one of them by the beard and slew him and killed the other one. He said, defending my father's flock. Let me at this fella. And you know the end of the story. Not one lamb of the flock of God shall ever be left behind. Not one that ever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ will be left behind. Not one of them. That's the promise of God Himself in Christ. Not one. Not one that's blemished. I won't leave him behind. Not one that's crippled and tattered and torn. I'll leave. No, sir. Not one shall be found missing that's been entrusted to the charge of our champion, and our conqueror, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ, the bread of life. Christ, the receiver of all that come to Him. And it's Christ, the preserver of all who come to Him. Christ is the eternal possession of all that come to Him. And He says, I give unto them eternal life. Coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is the act of the soul. It's the soul's movement towards Christ. No man comes who does not believe, and all who comes believing, and continues to believe, and continues to believe, and at the last minute or second of his life, he's still believing. Is that any help to you? That's help to me. All the Father giveth to me shall come to a man. Shall come. And if he comes, I'll keep him. I won't cast him out. I won't lose him. He's mine forever. I've sanctified him and made him holy. I've clothed him in my righteousness. I've bathed him in my blood. I've atoned for his sins. I've pardoned him forever. Nothing shall ever be brought up against him anymore. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, nothing will separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Well, shall this separate him? Shall that? Nothing shall separate him. He's mine, and he's mine forever. We're the Jews. We're the Jews. I know that the world doesn't see us that way. You could get some strangers to come in here or some to stand on the outside when we leave, and they'll say they don't look any different than we do. But bless God, there is a difference. Who hath made thee to differ? It's God that has made us to differ. He's made known the Lord Jesus Christ to our poor, lost souls. And He's the bread of our souls. He feeds us, the little lambs of the flock. He feeds some a little more than others, but every one of them. He passes the loaf around, and they all get a bite. God help you and me to come to Him. To come to Him. By faith, to trust in Him. But I'll quit. We'll meet again this evening.